do different things during the Christmas season. And throughout the years at different churches I've been pastoring, sometimes I would have kids come up and light candles and all of those kinds of things. And maybe sometime again we'll do some of those things. But we are going to talk about light this morning, about the light that shone in the darkness, and how this was prophesied 700-ish years before Jesus was born. It's just amazing. You know, I can't predict from one day to the next sometimes what kind of mood I'm going to be in the next day, let alone what exactly I'm going to be doing and how and why. And yet God moved through the hearts of prophets many years ago. And in Isaiah, in chapter 9, this was written at a time when there was a lot of chaos in the lives of God's people. And they came under attack sometimes, and usually it was because they had stepped aside from God's best, and they chose their own way. And when that happens, we know, even in our lives today, when we decide, I'm going to step away from the ideals that God has for me, the things that I know that are written plainly and clearly in God's Word, it opens the door for the enemy to get in and muck about and bring chaos. And that's what happened for these people at this time, 700 years before Jesus was born. And the prophet Isaiah said that they were experiencing anguish and dark despair. And then in chapter 9, verse 1, it says this: "Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever." And it's the same in our lives. Darkness and despair doesn't have to be a continual thing. It doesn't have to be a perennial thing either. We love perennials, don't we? They come up in season, and there they are. But perennial problems don't have to take place. They don't have to be there. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, like warriors dividing plunder, and so forth. There was written that a great light will shine in the midst of deep darkness. Light. Boy, do we need light. We need more and more light, don't we? Lots of light. A lot of the songs I noticed this morning were about light. A lot of light. The light of Jesus. The light of His truth. And you know how just the light of God's presence, darkness can't hide when Christ's light comes along. As a kid, I helped my dad a lot on the farm, and I found myself a lot of times lying underneath a tractor or a combine or a truck or an implement of some kind. And often it was in the shop in the evening or just even in the day. And if the implement was tucked in the back corner of the shop where the lights couldn't get at it very, very well, we still needed what is called a trouble light, or that's a type of light, corded light, and it's kind of protected. And so I'd usually be the guy, when I was younger anyways, I'd man the light, or I guess I'd boy the light. Wasn't quite a man yet. And Dad would tell me, okay, shine the light on this over here. And he'd be working away on something. But you know what would inevitably happen to a young guy like me whose attention span was just about zero? You know, I'd think of something else. I'd get daydreaming, and I'd be looking around the shop. And then all of a sudden, hey, the light, put it over here. Bring it back over here. Oh, okay, yeah, right, got you, Dad. And That's what it was like. My job was to get the light in the right spot, and preferably where he was working on something. It's really annoying if you're in a dark place trying to work on something and suddenly there's no light. We had that experience with some RCMP officers a number of years ago as teenagers out at Cypress Hills Camp. Well, Cypress Hills. Some of us boys snuck out from the camp during family camp, and we were walking around the lake at midnight and setting off firecrackers and different things like that. It was a little bit frowned upon, but nonetheless, the RCMP were making their rounds. And at one point, they came driving up to us, about four young fellas, four teenagers. And long story short, they were going to give us a ride home, but they had a flat tire in one of their cruisers. So we decided we were going to help them. And we got to hold the light. That was so much fun. But we had to make sure that it was focused so that they could fix the tire, fix the flat tire. They had the spare in the back on a wheel, and that was great. But even as a farm boy, I wondered of the wisdom. They were parked on a bit of an incline, and they had one of those big jacks, bumper jack, and I thought, I don't think this is such a good idea to get this rear wheel off the ground on an incline. And sure enough, all of a sudden, the car started rolling back and bent the bumper, bent the jack, and we had to help them fix that too. Nonetheless, we got to hold the light. Man, was that fun. And then they took us for a ride in the cruiser around the lake. And you know, some of the cruisers have these spotlights. They refused to let the siren go. We thought that would have been fun, but it was after midnight, close to one. They thought in the park they probably shouldn't do that, but they were shining their light up into the cottage windows as we were driving by. We thought that was great. You can see amazing things when a really bright light shines on it or through it, right? You can see amazing light. The brighter the light, the more detail you see. True? The brighter the light, the more detail can be seen. And over the last number of decades, the scientific community has established places throughout the world where they either accelerate light or make light as bright as they can through all kinds of means, new technology, and sometimes it's X-ray, and sometimes it's other kinds of light. But they trap that light, and they put it into their workstations, and they do scientific research and experimentation with the extreme brilliant light. And now they're telling us that they can see atoms and the details within atoms because of the brilliant, brilliant, brilliant light that they're able to generate in their experimentation. You know what it's like when even you have a piece of paper and you put it up to the light, suddenly you begin to see the fibers of the paper. And that's just a light bulb. Imagine what that brilliant, brilliant illumination can expose with the proper instrumentation, the details, and the understanding that scientists are able to gain about how things work in this world, especially organic matter and other things. Light reveals what is, and light reveals things as they are. We've all played hide and seek, we've all played games in the dark as little kids, and we've all had the lights off. And then we'll scurry around and do our thing, and then someone comes to look. And even though it's a very simple room sometimes, it's amazing what can be hidden in the darkness. Until all of a sudden the lights come on, and then you see things as they are. The light that has been revealed when Jesus came into this world is like no other light. And this is not just a metaphor. It is a metaphor, but it's far more than a metaphor. with Jesus becoming the light of the world and coming into this world. If we look to Matthew, for instance, in chapter 4, this is after Jesus is already grown up, right? When his ministry was beginning, we see the prophet Isaiah quoted here again, that the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and those who lived in the land where death cast its shadow, a light has shined. People sat in darkness. There's a contrast here between a terrible darkness, a darkness that is associated with being really in the shadow of death. It's terrible. It's awful. That kind of darkness is destructive. There's no life in it. And yet into that darkness, a great light, an amazing light, a powerful light, a light that gives definition to everything and purpose, has now been shining. And this is speaking of Jesus coming into this world. The shadow that death cast is getting shorter and shorter and shorter as the light of Jesus and his truth becomes more and more brilliant. The light of Jesus. You know, when Jesus first came into this world, there were people who were offended at the truth being born in the form of a human being. There were people who were offended at that. There were people who were offended when it got out there that Mary was going to have a baby. People were offended because this pregnancy was non-typical. It was unusual. And people were offended because, well, the story went that she was experiencing pregnancy out of wedlock. And so either Joseph wasn't honoring this young woman that he was betrothed to, or someone else was responsible. So there were all kinds of talking going on. People were offended. But it wasn't a situation that people should have taken offense at. Because this great light, this great truth was about to come into the world. But people prefer darkness to truth at times. And this goes way back to the first couple, Adam and Eve, right? They were given choices and they chose to disobey. There was so much freedom within the scope of what God gave them. And yet, they're just like us because we are like them. We tend to gravitate to what we've been told we can't have and can't do. We just have to nibble a little bit, have to experience a little bit. And then they hid. God comes in to the garden, and for the first time, he had to go looking for them. Where are you? They were hiding. Why are you hiding? Right there, the heart of the Father is revealed. When the light of God's truth shines into our dark places, it never abuses us. And even in the garden, God didn't say, "All right, this isn't fun anymore. I'm not playing a game with you guys. You're hiding because you've done something wrong. Now get out here and explain yourselves." He didn't do that. He just asked questions. Where are you? Why are you hiding? Like that good, good father that comes alongside and says, "Tell me about what's going on. I can tell in your voice something's not right." And then as they began to shed light on their situation, The Father's love came alongside. There were huge consequences. But they were still able to have relationship with Him. It was altered to some degree. But ever since then, we try and hide. We try and hide. As little kids again, when we're playing hide and seek, we want the best places to hide. And we find the best places to hide. I really enjoy playing hide and seek with our grandkids. It's so fun when kids are that age, you know. They can't find each other sometimes, even though they're in plain sight. I'm not sure why that is, but it is so much fun. And I like to be stealth, and I realize I have to make myself known. Otherwise, they'd sometimes look for a long, long time. But we tend to hide. We try to cover up our mistakes, our shame. We're afraid of the truth coming to light, and so we hide. See, truth can offend us. Things that are real, sometimes we're a little bit afraid of. Light reveals truth. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life." And when Jesus began to announce this, people were offended. Even again, going back, when Jesus was first born, there were those after He was born that were offended by the thought of someone who claimed that they would be the light and the truth and a king, that they found that too hard to take. So the three wise men, not the three wise men, the wise men come along, however many there were. They come along. And we know what happened with King Herod. He was offended at this new truth, at this new light that was being shed about a new king. What does this mean for him? Competition. There's a threat. He was so offended, he ordered a lot of children to be taken out. We sang this morning, "Jesus, your name is a light that the darkness can't deny. You make the darkness tremble." For us who are believers in Jesus Christ, that should not scare us, that should thrill us. Do you tremble at the darkness? Or does the light of God's life in you make the darkness tremble? Are we offended by truth, by God's truth? And do we hide from His truth? Or do we take that truth and apply it into our lives in such a fashion that when we walk and live like Jesus did, with grace and love and truth, that darkness looks for a hiding place? Not because of how great we are, but because of the greatness of God and His glory that is residing within us. I think we were all afraid of the dark when we were little. But the darkness should be afraid of us. I'd like to turn to another passage in the Gospel of John. This is a great explanation of Jesus coming into this world in chapter 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And His life brought light to everyone, or understanding, definition. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. That's a great truth. Anytime you and I come into situations in life where there is confusion, or there seems to be a cloud of suspicion, or anything like that, when we seek the truth of a matter, and God begins to reveal something to us, you know something? Darkness can't extinguish it. We live in a world right now where people try and cover up everything. There are cover-ups about this, that, and the other all the time. And it seems that within this last year or two, so many things have been coming to light. Documents are exposed. Recordings are made public. And we're beginning to see more and more and more how people have hidden things for years and years and years, if not generations, for their own ends. The darkness will not extinguish the light. So it says that God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light, the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone who is coming into the world. This is the sad part. He came into the world, into the very world that he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. And that's a reality in our world today. Even his own people didn't recognize him for who he was. As Jesus lived his life, after he chose several disciples and ministered throughout the region, people began to see who God was really like. But they did not accept the things that he said about his relationship with the Father. They refused to accept that he truly was God's Son, that he was the Son of God, and that he was God. That was an offense to their ears. So much so that they tried to take him out, and eventually they did. But it wasn't without purpose, we know that. His own people didn't recognize him. They rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. So we too become daughters and sons of the living God through belief in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No other way to the Father in heaven but through Jesus Christ. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human or flesh and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.'" And this verse, verse 16, "From his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another." From his abundance. Remember, he has all the fullness of God within him. And John said, from his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. One benefit after another. See, life in Jesus Christ is one benefit after another. Yes. Depends on what kind of benefits you're looking for. If all we're expecting is an easy ride, a trouble-free existence, that doesn't exist anywhere in this universe, as far as humanity is concerned, ever. And until Christ returns and his kingdom is set up completely, there will be strife, there will be lack, there will be pain. There will be relational discord. There will be trouble. And yet in the midst of that, for those who are daughters and sons of the Most High God, there is one blessing after another, one benefit after another. It depends what you're looking for. In any situation you find yourself in, it may be a very dark and desperate situation. But the Word of God says there is peace in any situation. There is a sense of well-being in any situation. There can be hope in any situation. And a whole lot of our response to life's situations has a whole lot to do with whether we are walking in the light of Christ or whether we are accepting the statements of darkness. We will either rise above those things that are difficult and negative in life, or we will succumb. And we will walk in darkness, and we will not apprehend the light that He has for us. Do we look for and recognize the light of Christ in our world, in our situations, in our homes, in our relationships? Do we really look for and apprehend what God is doing? And do we speak of those things that speak of the light of God? Do we use His truth in a way that honors Him and actually brings life into a situation, that brings hope into a situation and joy into a situation? In Jeremiah chapter 24, again, another challenge for the nation of Israel, for the people of Israel. And in the midst of some of the challenges, God is speaking through the prophet about good figs and rotten figs. And He said, the rotten ones, they'll be uprooted. Those people who truly recognize who God is and how good God is, they will be firmly planted. And here's something. You know, when the Scripture says that Jesus came to His own and they didn't recognize Him and they didn't receive Him, it's the same in our world today. As we share the goodness of God's love with a world that is so hurting, many people do not recognize the goodness of God in the goodness of God. They will not receive the goodness of God. They'll reject it. That doesn't mean we give up on people. It means we keep loving people. Because God has not given up on you. He's not given up on me. And He never will. Because the light will always overtake the darkness. And the darkness cannot extinguish the light. And God desires His life and His truth to be lived out in our lives and to be given to us. So in chapter 24, verse 7, it says, I will give them hearts that recognize me as the Lord. I think that's one of the things that we should incorporate as far as when we pray for one another, when we pray for our family, when we pray for our society, when we pray for our neighbors. I think we ought to be praying, God, would You give people hearts that recognize You as the Lord? When we share the love of Christ, when we bring light into difficult places, God, would You help people to recognize this is about You? And to see that this corresponds, the things that I do, the cups of cold water that I give to someone who is thirsty, the folks that we visit in a nursing home, the times when we come alongside of someone who's hurting and walk for a while with them, Father, would you help them to recognize that it's not me, that they will recognize, that their hearts will recognize that this is you. Your light, your love, your truth. Sometimes we walk in this life. I'm going to ask the servers Matt and Cheryl, if you'd come up, please. We're going to celebrate communion in a moment. But I think sometimes, and it's true for me too, you know, difficulties, challenges come along, and what happens? We begin to forget how good God is. We forget how good God is. It's nice to have a building that's looking pretty festive. A new tree. The response that many people have had when they've walked in here this morning is, that's a big tree. It is a big tree. And our response when we encounter trials, when we encounter relational discord, when we encounter sicknesses, when we encounter difficult things, we ought to keep looking up to God. And we ought to keep saying, you're a big God. You're a big God. You're a really big God, and you're a good God. You're a really good God. And you hold out things for me that I have hardly tapped into, if we're honest. How much light are you allowing to shine in your own life when you go about your daily business? God is holding the light out for us all the time. The Word of God is powerful. It is effective. It is wonderful, and it tells us what we need to do when challenges come our way. But sometimes I realize one of the last things I do is actually get on my knees and pray and ask for help. It's so easy to get into, oh, I'm freaked out. What do I do now? What do I do now? This has happened. That's happened. The light of the Word. When I remember, when I collect my thoughts and I go, I got to take a deep breath here. I've just got to go back to the Word. Because 100% of the time, God has been faithful. When I've needed help, God has shown me in His Word. Or God has brought someone along at the right time. You know, just like the Scripture says that at the right time, at the fullness of time, Jesus came into this world. And just at the right time, God will bring truth, whether it's through the Scriptures or whether it's through the encouragement and understanding and wisdom of someone else, into your life to help you through. And this morning, as we celebrate communion, we celebrate the life of Jesus. When we celebrate communion, we're not just celebrating the end of His earthly life, although it represents that, but for huge purpose. When we celebrate communion, we celebrate the life that He lived. It's hard to separate the coming of Jesus into this world from the leaving from this world of Jesus and the way He left and what He gave us and how He is alive more and more and more. That's from a human perspective. You know something? If you take communion, it's like Jesus shining His light into our hearts again and again and again. Every time we take communion. Every time we take communion. It reminds us of His love. It reminds us of His goodness. It reminds us of His truth. Light and truth and love and grace hung on the cross in human form. The Son gave Himself up willingly. And when we take of the cup and the bread, we remember that Jesus was brutalized by people who didn't understand, people who rejected him. And at the same time, he offered forgiveness to the same people who brutalized him on the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." You see, that's the light of his love. So that when we encounter people in our world who tick us off and make us angry and offend us, when we come to this place, we're reminded, "Father, forgive me for the anger I've held against someone else. Forgive me for the way I've treated other people, for the way I've spoken about other people." Because all you've ever done, all Christ has ever spoken about you and me to anyone, especially to the Father in heaven, has been full of grace and kindness. Not once has Jesus gone to our Heavenly Father and said, "Dad, would you do something about Larry? He's beginning to wear thin on me." Not once has he done that. He's maybe told the truth to his Father, but it's always with a sense of love. "Hey, Dad, how's about you and me in the Spirit, we reel this boy in a little bit, wrap our arms around him, and shed some light on his situation." When we take the bread and the cup this morning, we're reminded, as the Scripture says in Isaiah, that by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. I just listened to a talk that Bill Johnson gave recently, must have been a sermon. And he said something in there. He's talking about the importance of prayer and the importance of communion in prayer. And he said, "I take communion every day," he said. And he and his wife take communion every day. As long as they're together. He travels a lot. So he said, "I actually take the elements for communion wherever I go. If I go on a trip, in an airplane or whatever, I pack it with me. Every day, I take communion because it reminds me of all of the good things of Jesus. And when I pray, in having communion, I pray for people. I pray for my family. I pray for everyone that I encounter." And you know what he said? He said there are 3 people internationally, people who profess to be believers, who slander his ministry on a very regular basis. And they tell people, "Don't have anything to do with Bill Johnson or Bethel Church. Stay away from him. He's a heretic." He said there's also 3 people in the United States who are high-profile believers who do the same thing on social media. And in their messages and in their recordings, they warn people, "Stay away from this guy." And you know what Bill said? "I take it to the cross. I will not speak ill of those people. I pray for God's blessing and his favor on them." Because that's how we're taught to pray for people who perceivably are enemies. And then he said something else. His wife had someone call her and express that there was a great need for a mutual friend. This lady had been ill for years with 7 different diseases. And she was not getting better. She was dying. And the doctors at that point held no hope for her. There was nothing they could do. And so Benny Johnson said to her friend, "Tell this lady, take communion every day. And when you take communion, you remember by the suffering of Jesus Christ, you are healed. You are made whole. You take communion and you reflect and you meditate on the love of our Savior. You see, what she was doing was shedding light of truth into this woman's heart. So she took that up. 1 month later, she was disease-free. Are we taking in that light? Are we absorbing that light so that we walk in faith and we walk in trust with the truth that He has already shared with us? We're going to take communion this morning. And if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, take it with faith and trust. You know, if you're here this morning and you're not sure that you've really connected with Jesus yet, and I've said this many times before, I believe that this is a means of grace for people to come to the cross. If you're not a believer in Jesus yet, or you don't know that you're saved, there's an opportunity for you to take by faith and say, Jesus, I want your life. I want your light. I want your hope. I want your goodness. And by taking these elements this morning, I'm believing in you and I'm reaching out for you. And we know that God is not just reaching out. He is just there. The presence of Christ by the Holy Spirit wants to embrace every one of us this morning and love us as we participate together. This also speaks of unity in the body of Christ. No one is up here, no one is down here. Pastors aren't way up here, and parishioners down here somewhere. God loves every one of us exactly the same, and that's huge. He loves us big. So as we take communion this morning, we're going to pass the elements out, and Pastor Ken is going to give a prayer of blessing over the elements just before we take them. And then after we've taken communion together, we're just going to invite anyone to come for prayer this morning. If you have a need and you want to come and pray with someone in faith, asking God to shed His light into your situation. If you need hope, we invite you to come and pray with one of our leaders here who will pray for the hope of heaven to be instilled. If you have lost faith, we pray this morning that you come and be reignited in your hope in what God has done for you. And if you are here this morning and there is a need in your life for healing physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, you remember that by His stripes you are healed. We invite you to come and receive prayer in faith for healing this morning. So we're going to distribute the elements and Pastor Ken will pray and we'll proceed.